Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
I don't know that I had any hope yesterday on the show when we were talking about the Senate was going to vote last night on the Infants Born Alive Act, which is a follow-up and gives some teeth to something that they passed back in 2002, which all the Democrats and liberals and pro-aborts are all referencing that, hey, we already have one of these laws. Nice try. So I've actually got that law right here, the one that they passed back in 2002, and I'll go through that. And definitely want to open up the phones today. I've got a lot of different angles on this deplorable activity last night in the U.S. Senate. And but it shouldn't really shock anybody. I don't know why I was hopeful at all yesterday that to think that just because they were being put on the spot to vote for something like the Infants Born Alive Act, that they would step up to the plate. But they didn't. Every single Democrat voted against it except for three. Three Democrats voted correctly with humanity, with life, with reason, with logic, ultimately and overridingly, of course, with God. But Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who just needs to go ahead and switch parties, and Senator Doug Jones from Alabama. Those are the only three. And by the way, all six of the Democratic senators currently vying for the Democrat nominee to run against Donald Trump in 2020. All six of them voted against the bill. Cory Booker, Sherrod Brown, Kirsten Gillibrand, Kamala Harris, however she pronounces it, Amy Klobuchar, and Elizabeth Warren. And not last, but certainly not least, quote-unquote independent Bernie Sanders of Vermont, all voted against the Infant Born Alive Act. This took place last night. And let me just take you through a bunch of stories here. And then if you want to call in and just share, especially, listen, I had a back and forth last night on by text with my intern from the summer, Callan, who's a great guy and is a believer, loves the Lord. But like a lot of younger people, he's very conservative in some ways. He's very pro-life. He loves the Lord, knows the Lord. In other areas, he's much more liberal. We butted heads a lot over the summer, but it was good for both of us. We learned a lot. It was good for both of us to learn how to deal with another believer that doesn't share the same political views. But he is pro-life. But he was pretty upset with me last night as I was posting things on Facebook, because the people on the radio page, the Facebook radio page, can get just downright nasty, unchristlike, mean, and quite frankly, embarrassing at some points, the things that get said on the Facebook page, the Steve Noble Show Facebook page. So I was posting in no uncertain terms that I think the satanic, now just completely satanically controlled Democrat Party, especially on this issue. And if you're a Democrat, I know that's probably a terrible thing to hear, a terrible charge that I'm making against the party of which you're a member. But my question for you, and I hope you feel comfortable calling in, because I'm not going to try to rip your head off if you call into the show today. 866-34-TRUTH is our number, 866-348-7884. I just have one question for you, is how do you defend the leadership in your party on a vote like this? I mean, how do you do that? How do you defend that? If you're somebody that votes for Democrats on this particular issue, how do you defend that? And then if you can't, and I don't know how you would, how do you continue to vote for that party? And I'll be the first one to say that the Republican Party has all kinds of flaws. I appreciate their orthodoxy, their party platform, what they say, their orthopraxy, what they do is flawed in many ways. On the pro-life issue up in D.C., they do stuff too little too late, like this deal. Why didn't they push harder to defund Planned Parenthood when they actually held Congress? And I think in many ways they're spineless. It's like Democrats pandering to African-Americans and Hispanic people. I think the Republican Party, many of them pander to pro-life people. That would include me. And I think they do. I think that's true, especially on the federal level. On the state level, there's a lot more going on. And I've got a couple of positive stories to share with you by the end of the show today. But if you want to call in, I mean, if you're on either side of the issue, and just my question for you is, what do you think? What do you think about the Democrat Party? What do you think about our nation? What do you think about America? And is there any hope on this issue? And recent polls have shown, because one of the things that's really good about all this, if there's a silver lining here, is that it's putting a spotlight on all these issues. Just like yesterday when we talked about Unplanned, the movie Unplanned, which is opening nationwide on March 29th, got an R rating because it dared to show in an ultrasound what an abortion looks like in an ultrasound as the baby is trying to move away from the suction equipment that's going to rip it out of its mother's womb, right? And so the baby recoils, moves away, pain, all of that. And that was enough to get an R rating because it was violent. Well, no kidding. Abortion is violent. But what do you call it when there's a botched abortion? There's a baby, a living baby, laying there. A botched abortion, saline, whatever the case may be. And a botched abortion, and you do nothing. What's that called? That's spiritually violent. It's emotionally violent. It's mentally violent. And physically, to sit there and watch somebody die and not care for them, especially at the youngest point of life, outside the womb, that's not violent? Of course it is. So if you want to share just your reaction to this today, feel free to call in. I'd be happy to share the airwaves with you. 866-348-7884, your reaction to last night's vote in the Senate. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH from Vox. There's a story from Vox. The Senate on Monday voted against a bill that would have put in place requirements for the care of infants born after failed abortions and could have sent doctors to prison if they failed to comply, which would be just. The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, sponsored by Ben Sasse, he's a Republican, obviously, fell short of the 60 votes it needed to move forward, with 53 senators voting in support of the measure and 44 voting against. So your first question is, well, 53 is a majority, right? Well, you know, the Senate, they have this screwed up rule because they're trying to make it harder. They don't want to move too quickly in the Senate. A simple majority isn't enough to pass. 51 votes out of 100 is not enough in the Senate. You have to have 60. So when they go against that, that's called the nuclear option. Only the Senate majority leader can pull that off. And he changes the rule from 60 to 51. And Democrats started it years ago, the nuclear option. And Republicans, here's the trick. And we got a lot more to unpack on this. Here's the trick. If a Republican starts to pull the nuclear option all the time and goes to 51, when the Senate is controlled by Democrats, and probably it will be at some point in the next several years, the next several election cycles, then they do the same thing. But what else is new? It's Washington, D.C. It goes back and forth. Very difficult. We'll keep talking about it. More details when we come back. Welcome back to the Steve Noble Show here in the divided states of America, where not much is sacred anymore, and shame is dead. That's cheery, isn't it? But that's the reality of it as we look at what happened last night. Democrats block Republicans from saving infants born alive from botched abortions. So I got several different stories here. Only three Democrats voted for the bill. Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who just needs to go ahead and change parties, and Senator Doug Jones from Alabama. All six of the Democrat senators currently running for the 2020 presidential nomination voted against the bill. Praise the Lord. I'm glad they did. I'm glad they came out and voted against it. I'm glad Trump came out swinging. He tweeted shortly after, "This will be remembered as one of the most shocking votes in the history of Congress. If there's one thing we should all agree on, it's protecting the lives of innocent babies," he said. Before that, he said Senate Democrats just voted against legislation to prevent the killing of newborn infant children. The Democrat position on abortion is now so extreme that they don't mind executing babies after birth, the president said in a statement on Twitter. So he came out hitting last night. And of course, that will come back up as he moves into the election in 2020. And in the primary, all six of them in the Senate they all came out and voted against it. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, representing Alaska, declined to vote, which tells you what you need to know. There were two Republican senators, Tim Scott and Kevin Cramer, who had flight delays and they couldn't get there. It wouldn't have mattered anyway. But if you'd like to call in and share your reaction to what happened last night in the U.S. Senate as they voted against an abortion survivor's bill, which I'll explain a little more of the details to you, feel free to give us a call. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. To sound off anything you want to share about what's going on with last night's vote in the Senate. I'm going to jump over to Jeff is calling in from right here in North Carolina where I'm at. Jeff, thanks for calling. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Steve, thanks for taking my call. I've wanted to call for a long time.
You're very welcome.
You know, this whole issue is so frustrating. I do feel like where we are today, and I didn't used to feel this way, is that being a Democrat and being a Christian are like two mutually exclusive things. It's hard for me to justify, you know, being a Democrat and being a Christian.
Yeah.
And like from a pastoral perspective, and I'll probably never get this because of the church that I go to, but like, I mean, I would love my pastor to stand up there and say, hey, you can't vote for this party because, you know, they're un-Christian, and I don't think we'll ever get that from a pastor, and I don't necessarily think it's his job, but I'll tell you, I've come so far, the Democrats have come so far from being like, you know, a party that, you know, wants a little bit more government, a little bit more safety net, you know, to now they're so far left, and I just,
yeah.
I don't know, what do I do? How do I address this?
Yeah, I mean, I struggle with the exact same thing, Jeff, and I was struggling last night. I posted something else last night on Facebook saying, listen, we claim righteous indignation. We start talking about Jesus throwing the temple, throwing the tables over and throwing the money changers out of the temple, and that his anger was completely righteous. And of course it is, but mine isn't because I'm not Jesus. And I'm a sinner.
Yeah.
And I struggle with the same thing. I say it on the air. I've said it on the air for years. I do not know how you square a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and allegiance to the written word of God and vote for a party whose flag is soaked in the blood of the unborn. I do not know how you justify that. Oftentimes it's, well, you guys only care about people after they're born. You don't care about people in the you don't care about them after they're born. You only care about them before they're born, which is just a kind of a weak argument. But I'm with you, Jeff. I do not understand how somebody squares. Now, some people say, well, I'm a pro-life Democrat. And you're flying under a flag soaked in the blood of the unborn.
Democrats today are pretty much Republicans.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know, they've come so far. It's one thing to believe in a little bit more government, a little bit more safety net.
Sure.
Which is totally, you know, you can have those debates and all of that. But man, as far left as they are now, it's like I don't get it. I don't. And for a lot of my, like, I have a lot of United Methodist neighbors who are Christians, quote unquote, but they go to a really liberal United Methodist church. And I'm not speaking ill of that particular denomination. It's just that, you know, I don't get it. I don't understand where they're coming from. I think for a lot of churches that tend to lean more left, they tend to make social issues their God in a way. You know, I don't know.
Well, what's
right.
the yeah, but what's the ultimate social justice issue if it's not the unborn? Or just born. And to your point, I mean, they're so out there now on abortion, just like in New York, and let's paint the town pink and light the One World Trade Center up pink and clap and cheer for the fact that we've legalized abortion right literally up to the moment of delivery. And then they all run around and say, hey, I'm good with the Green New Deal and I'm good with democratic socialism. I think, and this is not going to be a popular statement, but I don't really care about that normally, as you could tell, is I think this is what it looks like for a group of people to be Romans 1 given over to a depraved mind. That's what I think it is.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. And like, you know, and you said this too, it's like, it's not like the Republicans are completely guiltless here. They've been so passive on the issue for so long.
Absolutely.
It's like, you had control of the House and the Senate. And like, what did you do with that? Like, I'm frustrated on all ends. But hey,
I'm
with you. I appreciate your time and I appreciate your listening to me. And hopefully I brought some insight. So.
Amen. Thanks for calling, Jeff. I appreciate it. And let's make sure we are praying for all these people, not just the people on your side of the aisle and not just for the people that you voted for, but we need to be praying for them all. That should be painfully obvious to all of us if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's go to, I'm going to jump over to Kathy, who's calling in right here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Kathy, you're on with Steve. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve. Well, I'm wearing my Love Life t-shirt right now.
Amen, sister.
You know where I stand on this. And as heartbreaking as this is, it doesn't surprise me. And honestly, I think we have to see how ugly things are. Because I think we have tried to make it, we tried to cover it up for so long. You know, it's this ugly truth that we just don't want to admit to. And I will tell you, you know, being involved with the Crisis Pregnancy Center, centers around here and working with them and learning what true grace is and the forgiveness of you know, of abortion or participating in abortion. I will tell you, whenever I'm in front of Christians, that I challenge them, because I say, you know, that the statistics are not that much better in the church. And not only that, we're really good at oohing and aahing and pointing our fingers at those other people. But until you've sat across from a woman who is in a crisis situation, so what are you doing to help her? What are we doing to help her? And I know how hard our crisis pregnancy centers work to help them to get out of these situations, to give them a new life. But the church has to be a part of that.
Yep.
And so many times the church wants to look the other direction or wants to say, that's, you know, that's for somebody else to do. We don't really want to get involved in that because it's so political. And I will tell you, this is the cry of my heart. And I will tell you, every leader out there who is involved in the crisis pregnancy centers, they will say, without the church, we cannot survive. This should be an arm of the church. You want to save people? This is what we're in the business of doing in the church, is saving people. Well, there are people walking into these clinics every single day, and they need to be saved.
That's exactly
along
right.
with the babies that they're carrying.
Amen, and Kathy. I'm up against a break, but thank you so much for calling and sharing that.
All right.
God bless you, too. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for that, Kathy. 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH, if you want to react to the Democrats blocking the Infant Born Alive Act last night. I'll get into some more details of that and your calls when we come back right after this.
Let's try it all together.
Back at Steve Noble talking about last night in the U.S. Senate. That would be our U.S. Senate. A Republican-backed bill to protect abortion survivors failed. And the Democrats, they needed 60 votes. Mitch McConnell wouldn't pull the nuclear option, which I have a lot of problems with Mitch McConnell. I have a lot of problems with the Republicans in D.C. I have a lot of problems with Donald Trump in 2017 and 2018 since he was elected. When they controlled the Congress and the White House, they could have played hardball. They could have defended. They could have defunded Planned Parenthood. They could have gotten that done. They had the votes in both chambers. They could have pressured in the Senate. They could have dropped the nuclear option, go from 60 votes to 51. You'd lose Murkowski and the other one. Then you bring in the vice president, and he has the deciding vote. You apply all kinds of pressure to those two pseudo-Republicans in the Senate, and you get it done. And Trump signs it. But they didn't. Now, why they didn't? Boy, I could unleash all kinds of theories on that. I tell you, one thing that's good for both sides, the pro-life and the pro-choice crowd, is the issue itself. And you want me to be really cynical? It keeps the money flowing on both sides. When you have a war, you have an industrial complex that feeds the war, right? So if abortion goes away, if we outlaw it and do the thing that God would have us do, the pro-life crowd, you're done. And the pro-choice crowd, you're done. No more fundraising. Now, talk about a cynical approach. You might want to consider that. We are, after all, dealing with fallen human beings all the time. After the bill failed, Senator Marco Rubio from Florida, who was an original sponsor of the bill, blasted Democrats, saying it was unconscionable that protecting innocent newborn abortion survivors is now a partisan issue. Every infant that is born alive, despite a botched abortion, deserves the same proper medical care and treatment that doctors are required to give to other newborns. He added that the vote made it crystal clear that Democrats support the legalization of infanticide and openly embrace the growing extremism in the Democratic Party, which is exactly what our friend Jeff said earlier on his phone call. Let's jump over to Elizabeth, who's calling in from Raleigh. Elizabeth, sorry, I kept her on hold too long. Let's go to Ron, who's in Greensboro, North Carolina. Sorry to keep you on hold, Ron. Go ahead. Hey, Ron, are you there? Yep, you're on with Steve. Go ahead. Or not. We'll jump over to... Oh, Elizabeth's calling back from Raleigh. I'll get that call in here in just a second. So that's what happened last night. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on what happened in the Senate, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let me go back to Elizabeth and Raleigh. Sorry about that, Elizabeth. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Steve, I teach a class right now that's talking about how Christianity impacts our culture. And so, of course, this topic came up, this horrible thing that's happening. And I said something to my class. I thought at the time, you know, this could be taken very wrong, but I heard one of your guests a couple of days ago say the same thing, which is this, that if there is any silver lining in this horrific, horrible thing that's going on, it's that every single one of those babies gets an immediate straight ticket to heaven.
Yeah.
And, you know, they are immediately in the arms of our Heavenly Father. And, you know, it's the only consolation that I can find. But to be cynical along with that, you know, I think about these godless people who, you know, rip life from their own bodies and in doing so provide this slaughtered child with the opportunity to meet their Heavenly Father in that instant.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's the only thing I could say that makes any sense to me that brings any kind of positive closure to it.
Yeah, and I think, and I appreciate you calling back in, Elizabeth. Thank you for that, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on it. And that's one now I'll post on Facebook. There's a really good article that Al Mohler and Dr. Danny Aiken, is the president of Southeastern Seminary, where my studio is, wrote about that theological issue. There have been pastors in the past that said, oh, no, see, that's one of the great horrific things about abortion, is those babies die, they go straight into hell, which I think is really bad theology. Feelings are important, but your feelings don't determine the facts, and your feelings don't determine theology. Okay, the Bible interprets itself. You have to understand theology. A good, sound theology would show you, and there is a very strong case to be made that every child, and that's a younger child, 2, 3, 4 years old, they're not volitional. They're not sinning against the law that they know in their hearts is there. If you got people that are have terrible mental problems and aren't cognitive, it applies to people like that. And there's a great case to be made. I'll put that article on there. But yeah, but then again, you're still denying somebody the right to live. God created them to be alive and to be a part of this earth and to be a blessing to their parents, as it says in Scripture, and that's denied. And so, yes, praise the Lord, I agree with you, that they go into the arms of their father immediately. But that's a life that's denied, and that's a crime in and of itself. You have the upside over there, which is, praise the Lord, that's great. That's mercy and grace and love. It does not change the fact that it's murder. Let's go to Ron back in Greensboro. Ron, thanks for calling back in. You're on with Steve. Go right ahead.
Yes, Steve. Why are you saying that you can't be a Christian and be a Democrat? Why are you saying this?
I said I don't understand how one person can claim to be a Christian and a follower of Christ in the Scriptures and then turn around and vote for a party, support a party that is so enthusiastically supportive of killing babies in the womb. I don't understand how you justify those two together. I don't know how you make that work. I don't understand
How do you justify supporting the Republican Party when they had three branches of government, basically, and did nothing? Is it negligence?
Yeah, Ron, I appreciate you calling back in, and my offer to have coffee with you one day still stands. But I would say I am not an enthusiastic supporter of the Republican Party. If you were listening 10 minutes ago, you would have heard me say that I have very little respect for the Republican Party, especially at the national level, because they have not gotten things done. And my cynical side says they just use it as a campaign issue, just like the Democrats use, hey, we're going to take care of the African-American community and Hispanics. They pander all the time. And I think the Republicans, especially on the national level, pander a lot on the life issue.
So then are you saying
that's why I'm a registered independent, by the way, Ron. Right. I'm not a registered Republican.
Sure you are. But here's what I'm saying. Would you say then your support or anyone's support of the Republicans on a national level is a sin? That they can't be a Christian?
No, I would not say that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and I think, and Ron, I got other stuff to get to, and I know you. I appreciate you calling back in, and I appreciate you sharing. But we struggle to have a decent conversation on the air, which is why my offer to you still stands. So find me on Facebook or go to the SteveNobleShow.com website and send me an email, and I'll sit down with you and have coffee, and we'll discuss things, but I'm not going to get into the back and forth here on the air. It drives me nuts, and it's unproductive. I said before, Ron, and I'll say it again, I do not see anything in the Republican Party platform that is openly against the clear teaching of Scripture. I do not see the Republican Party platform endorsing anything that I can look at the Scriptures and say, this is a heinous sin against a holy God. There is nothing in the Republican Party platform. That's their orthodoxy. Their orthopraxy, what they do, they drop the ball in many ways. Like I said, on abortion, with still funding Planned Parenthood, having the White House, the Senate, and the House of Representatives, was it a heinous evil that they wimped out on all that? I believe it is. And I say it. And I re-registered as an independent about 6 years ago for that very reason. Because I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be a member of either one of these parties. I'm a member of one party with a king who's not up for a vote. And that's the deal. That's why I re-registered as independent. And every day that goes by, I have less faith at all in any level with either the Republicans or the Democrats. But on the Democrats, I have a much easier case calling that party out. It's totally unbiblical. And I think now heavily satanically influenced on this issue of life and gender and sexuality. Totally anti-Christian and enthusiastically so. So I'm not going to be a shill for the Republican Party either, nor for this president. I've said it before. I'll say it again. As a follower of Jesus Christ, my job on this platform for whatever time or size that God gives me is to use the word of God to call balls and strikes. And it does not matter to me who's at the plate. So there you go. Okay. Let me get back to this. Some other things here. Okay, so I'm going to go back to this Vox article because there's some good information here. And again, Ron, thestevenobleshow.com. Hit the contact button. I'll be happy to go sit down and have a face-to-face conversation with you, assuming I can trust you. And I'm being very serious about that. Okay, reproductive rights and physicians groups said the bill could criminalize doctors and was unnecessary since laws already exist to protect an infant in the extremely unlikely scenario of a birth after an abortion attempt. The bill maligns and vilifies providers and patients to push a false narrative about abortion later in pregnancy. Dr. Kristen Brandy, a board member of Physicians for Reproductive Health, told Vox in an email. Physicians for Reproductive Health. Isn't that a lovely play on words? You know what reproductive health means? Killing babies. And now with the Democrat Party in its state of New York and other states, killing babies right up to the point of delivery and their refusal to sign this bill last night in the Senate. It's okay to let a baby born a botched abortion die. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you. Thanks for being here talking about what happened last night in the U.S. Senate, which was horrific and disgusting. And I was mad. I don't know that I was shocked. I was definitely mad and disgusted. And I hit the Democrat Party pretty hard on this stuff when it comes to the abortion issue, what's going on with late term abortions right up to the moment of delivery. But also when it comes to sexual anarchy, the sexual anarchy movement. And then, which of course became homosexuality, not homosexuals, but homosexuality, as well as now the gender thing. So there's things about the Democrat Party platform and the things that they push that I can, any Christian worth their salt, you should be able to make a very clear biblical case against that. And whereas the Republican Party, and I'm not going to keep talking about this, the Republican Party's got plenty of holes in its cheese, lots of things that it does wrong. Its orthodoxy is not off. Its platform is not off. Its practices are, and they've dropped the ball on the life issue. They should have defunded Planned Parenthood 6 months ago. For whatever reason, they didn't have the backbone, in my estimation, to go through with it. And my cynical side says, well, what's a good campaign issue, right? No, it's life. It's the life of children. Forget the campaign issue. Forget politics. Is abortion a political issue? I'm sick of hearing that, too. It's a clear moral issue, which makes it a very clear biblical issue. I don't engage it because it's political. I engage it because it's about truth. Senate Democrats, reproductive rights groups, and groups representing doctors called the legislation unnecessary and potentially damaging. I wanted you to understand this so you can deal with it when you hear it out there or see it online. This legislation, quote, is based on lies and a misinformation campaign aimed at shaming women and criminalizing doctors for a practice that doesn't exist in medicine or reality. said Dr. Leanna Wen, the president of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, in a statement to Vox. So it doesn't exist. Botched abortions and children being left to die as a result of botched abortions don't exist. Well, tell that to my friend Melissa Odin, who was on this show in the fall, who survived her mom's saline abortion. Her grandmother wanted her dead. Praise the Lord for the beautiful, wonderful nurse in that hospital that decided to save her life. She actually had one of her own children there later, Melissa Odin. Melissa Odin met with the president recently. She's been on Fox. She's been in front of Congress. She survived an abortion. And they're sitting there saying, it doesn't exist in medicine or reality? Yes, it does. Brandy of Physicians for Reproductive Health said she had never heard of a case of a child born after a failed abortion attempt. This is a part of the false narrative around this bill and abortion later in pregnancy, she said. Really? Well, here we go. Here's from another story. An analysis of Centers for Disease Control records on infant deaths coded termination of pregnancy affecting fetus and newborn between 2003 and 2014 showed 588 such cases that apparently don't exist. The Heritage Foundation said of those cases, at least 143 could definitely be classified as involving an induced termination, otherwise known as an abortion. The CDC acknowledges that the number is likely underestimated due to vagueness of terminology and a lack of clarity about the spontaneity of some abortions, the foundation said. Plus, I think relying on the abortion industry to give us actual clear statistics about women that whose babies survive a botched late third trimester abortion or saline injection abortion, that's about as reliable as negotiating with the leaders of Iran. It isn't, by definition. Of course you don't trust what comes out of the abortion industry. How can you? There's not a moral fiber in there. You can't trust it. And so here, the CDC, not exactly a Republican or a Christian-controlled organization, showed 588 such cases, of which 143 could definitively be classified as involving an abortion. Babies born alive that were supposed to die. Okay? Even if a child were to be born after an abortion attempt, she said, this is one of the pro-choicers, laws already exist to protect the baby. In 2002, Congress passed the Born Alive Infants Protection Act, which guarantees to infants born at any stage of development full legal rights. That bill, which passed with bipartisan support, did not include criminal penalties for doctors and did not impose specific requirements on medical care. Here's the bill right in front of me. Okay, here's what it says. One page. Not even. Public Law 107-207, August 5th, 2002, an act to protect infants who are born alive. Then you get into all this person, human being, child, and individual, as including born alive infant. Part A, in determining the meaning of any act of Congress or of any ruling, regulation, or interpretation of the various administrative bureaus and agencies of the United States, blah, 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 the words person, human being, child, and individual shall include every infant member of the species Homo sapiens who is born alive at any stage of development. See how weak that is? They have to go Homo sapiens. We're talking about human people. Hello. Part B. As used in this section, the term born alive with respect to a member of the species Homo sapiens means the complete expulsion or extraction from his or her mother of that member at any stage of development who, after such expulsion or extraction, breathes or has a beating heart, pulsation of the umbilical cord, or definite movement of voluntary muscles, regardless of whether the umbilical cord has been cut, and regardless of whether the expulsion or extraction occurs as a result of natural or induced labor, cesarean section, or induced abortion. Part C. Nothing in this section shall be construed to affirm, deny, expand, or contract any legal status or legal right applicable to any member of the species Homo sapiens at any point prior to being born alive is defined in this section. So see what they did there? We're not going to call it a human being prior to being born alive. That's not a human being. Well, yes, it is. These are science deniers. That's what's going on here. They are science deniers. So all it said is an infant born alive has certain rights. It does not push. It does not set down. It has no teeth in it whatsoever. It's a feel-good law, okay? Then you get to the real one, and that's where they start to institute teeth into the law, where you've got information there that all of a sudden, it's strong, okay? So Lila Rose said this. Well, here's from the law itself, all right? The Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act would create criminal penalties for doctors who allow infants to die rather than providing medical care after attempted abortions, as it should be. They should be charged with murder beforehand, too, but we're not there yet. Mandate that a child born alive in an abortion clinic be transported to a hospital for further care. So see, it's expanding what happened in 2002, which didn't have enough details and didn't have enough force and didn't have any teeth. require health practitioners to report any violations of the law, instituted penalties for intentionally killing a newborn, including fines and up to 5 years imprisonment, and grant the women on whom the abortion is performed civil cause of action against the abortionist and protection from prosecution if her child is not cared for after birth. Quote, there is no difference between infanticide and abortion. Both kill the same child. We as a society have all the information we need. Undercover investigations, survivor testimonials from women like Gianna Jessen and Melissa Odin. Melissa, by the way, was on the show in the fall and hopefully might call in this Friday, who survived abortions. Abortion workers on the record discussing their inhumane treatment of survivors and Center for Disease Control data showing that babies are surviving abortions. Live Action founder and president Lila Rose said in a statement to the Christian Post, today should have been a time of unity and protecting life, but instead, Democrats continue to push for the brutality of abortion and infanticide. With Congress failing to do its job, every state should take this issue up for themselves, ensuring care for these innocent children that are often left to die, and work to eradicate abortion altogether, she added. I can't remember the name of the woman. She was in Chicago, I think, working at a hospital. They wanted a baby just put in a bucket, and she wasn't allowed to save the baby, so she held it. I can't remember her name. She went on to be a pro-life champion. This was maybe 10 or 15 years ago, 20 years ago. So she held the baby. She wasn't allowed to save the baby by law. Thank you, Barack Obama, who is an Illinois senator, state senator, would not sign a similar bill saying if a baby survives an abortion that the state has a responsibility to save the child. He wouldn't sign that. Remember, that was an issue a little bit in the 2008 election. He wouldn't sign that. So this gal, I can't remember her name, held the baby until it died. And this is the country that we live in now in the United States Senate last night. And six of the people that voted against it are vying for the Democrat nomination to run against President Trump. Great question, Gina Noble. That's my wife on Facebook Live. Why is it only a human when they want it? It isn't. It's always a human. Okay. Let me finish on two upswings here. Federal judge hands down a devastating decision against Planned Parenthood in Missouri. See, on the state level, things are happening. Praise the Lord. Planned Parenthood is outraged. Good. Praise the Lord. A federal judge ruled against the objections from Planned Parenthood against a Missouri law that is keeping them from reopening their abortion services in Columbia. Missouri requires that physicians at clinics providing abortion services have admitting privileges at a hospital. But Planned Parenthood sought an exemption from the rule because they were denied in a nearby hospital. Yeah, I wonder why. U.S. Western District Court Judge Brian Wimes ruled that Planned Parenthood had not proven their argument that the rule constitutes an undue burden on a woman's constitutional right to abortion. This leaves only one clinic providing abortions in Missouri, located in St. Louis. Planned Parenthood Great Plains CEO Dr. Brandon Hill criticized the ruling and said it was a result of politicians ignoring medical facts. Quote, let's call this what it is. Politicians ignoring medical evidence to push sexual and reproductive health care out of reach for people across Missouri, Hill said. Abortion is incredibly safe, he added. Yet politicians continue to pursue restrictions that defy medical experts and make abortions as inaccessible as possible. Missourians deserve better. Presumably, in this article from The Blaze, Dr. Hill meant abortions are incredibly safe for the pregnant woman and not for the aborted children. Of course they're not safe. They're not safe for the one that's being murdered, obviously. They're also not safe for the women. There are so many cases of women who went in to get an abortion and were harmed, some of them killed, not to mention all the post-abortive effects, both physical, emotional, mental, spiritual. The post-abortive effects are a nightmare. There are more than one victim in every abortion. For post-abortive women and ladies, if you are, you know what I'm talking about. Folks in the family, I love this. Go Jim Daly. Praise the Lord. Folks in the Family, President hopes Times Square ultrasound helps people see image of God in the unborn. This spring, people in one of the busiest intersections of the world will be confronted with the humanity of the unborn person in the form of a 4D ultrasound. On May 4th, Focus on the Family will present a live 4D ultrasound of an unborn baby in New York City's Times Square as part of its pro-life event, Alive from New York. Go get them. Most people have never seen a 4D ultrasound, President Jim Daly said of Focus on the Family. It's our hope that after seeing these videos in Times Square, people will have no doubt that every life is made in the image of God. Because that is the truth. So we will continue to talk about it. We'll continue to show it. We'll continue to put it up there and make these points and defend the unborn. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. I'll be live from Oklahoma Baptist University tomorrow talking about the race issue. So God willing, I'll talk to you then. And like my dad always said, ever forward.